Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your grace unto our lives. And we thank you, Father, it's by your grace you establish all things. And Father, we continue to pray that you grant the spirit of wisdom and revelation to our hearts and to our lives as we move into the fullness of the depth of your will for us. We ask, O God, that you continue to work your will in our lives. We seek to do only your will, to fulfill your will, to finish your will, and to always remain in your will. And we give you all the worship, glory, and honor for all your working in our lives through your Holy Spirit. Even now, open our eyes to understanding, to understand and receive your word, the engrafted word that is able to establish our hearts and our lives in you. We give you all worship, glory, and honor, Father, forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the last Sunday of the month, and every last Sunday we go on an evangelistic series where we touch on topics that will be of interest, general interest to people. And last month we talked about how the world began, how the world came to be as it is today. And this morning we are going to touch on how sin came into the world, how we reached the state that we are in from the spiritual side. So if you look at a story in the Bible, tells us, if you have the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and also John chapter 1 verse 1, tells us that in the beginning was God, and God created the heavens and the earth. And in John chapter 1 verse 1 it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so in the beginning, before there was any creation, there existed God, Almighty God. The Hebrew word calls him Elohim. And God existed in three persons. He is not one person, three manifestations. He is three persons relating in a tri-unity. And that's one of the most puzzling things to scholars and to people who do not understand what the Bible reveals about God. God exists in three persons. You heard probably the Christian doctrine of Trinity. People have tried to express it in many ways. And sometimes they say the Trinity is like H2O, hydrogen oxide, chemical name for water. And water exists in vapor form as steam, water vapor. Water exists in liquid form as what we normally know. Water exists in solid form. And they say that is a picture of the Trinity. However, the illustration is good, but it's limited. It could be interpreted as one person, three manifestations. And it would just be like our brother Albert Elias, praise the Lord. He is one person. He is the husband to Sister Hope. And that is one relationship. He is the father to Brother James here. And that's the second relationship. And is my brother in the Lord. A third relationship. So it's one person, three relationships. That is not the picture of the Trinity either. That is not the picture of the Trinity. The picture of the Trinity must be three persons working in unison together. Perhaps one of the best pictures is where we see a house that is built, and a house is sitting there. Then along comes a person, and he comes and he looks at the house. He stands and he says, "This is my house." He is the architect. So his house, he designed it. He designed the whole thing and get it all built up. Then another person comes, looks at the house and says, "This is my house." He bought it. He's the landlord, the owner. My house, he's correct. So he walks by. Then the third person opens the door, looks out at us, and says, "This is my house, I stay here." He's the tenant. So we have the father, the architect, the son, the one who shed his precious blood, and the Holy Spirit who lives in our heart. We are the house of God. I think it's a better picture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God exists in three persons. No matter how we try to comprehend, that is it. Now in the Bible, there's a very strange quirk of grammar that they use in the Hebrew. The word for God in the Bible, actually, is plural in the Old Testament. See, Eloh is the singular word for God. Elohim is a plural word for God. Strictly speaking, it should be translated as God. Elohim. In the English, you realize some forms of English, the plural is not an S but an IM. Like Sarah, Seraphim, Cherubim, right? Barnabas, Barnabim. Alright. And so, we add an IN instead of an S. And so, in the Bible it says Elohim, which strictly speaking it should have been translated God. In the beginning was God. Say, really, it's more than one God? What is that? There is, if you want to talk like that in that language, yes, there are three gods. But God gives a better picture. There is three persons of the Godhead. We call them the Godhead. And the strange thing is that the Bible uses it this way. Normally, if we speak in English and we construct an English sentence, we would say, for example, we would say, "He is here." And then we say, "They are here." Right? We will say, "Ahmad, Akal, and Ramasamy are here." We don't say, "Ahmad, Akal, and Ramasamy is here." We don't say that, right? We use the plural word to connect that description, the word "are." In the Bible, when it uses the Hebrew word, it says, strictly speaking, it says, "God is," and that gives all the scholars and theologians a headache to translate. Singular and yet plural. Plural and yet singular. And under today, they haven't answered the question. That's, you see, boggling their mind. How can it be singular yet plural? The Elohim is. And some others will say, "What about the Bible when it says, 'Hear, O Israel, there is one God'?" See, there are two Hebrew words for one. One is a numerical one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Numerical one. The other is called union one. What I call a picture of one, oneness. And when the Bible used the word one for God, it didn't use the word numerical one, it used the word union. And that brings a stronger picture of Trinity. Any person who reads the New Testament will find that the Apostle Paul and the writers understood God to be three persons. At the beginning of every epistle, they usually say, "Praise and blessings from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And our Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes they mention the Spirit of God. And that is a picture of more than one person. There's no way you could believe that it was just one person, three manifestations. Once in Australia, I went to Melbourne and was preaching in a church, and I was not supposed to be there. And somehow, I don't feel that I should have been there, but somehow I end up there. And that's why you need people who are led by the Spirit to plan the itinerary. And anything feel, but since I was there, and I set up the preach, so I preached. And when I was there, the Lord said, preach on the Trinity. So I preached on the Trinity. And after that, the pastor and the assistant pastor came to see me, put me to their office and said, we don't believe in the Trinity. There I was set up to preach. I got two more sessions. And they said, we don't want you to preach on the Trinity. And so the Holy Spirit helped me to ask them this question. When you go to heaven, you see God's throne. How many thrones do you see? One throne? Two thrones? They did not want to answer, because if they answer, they have to give the answer. So I answered for them. It must be very clear, if the Father sits on the throne and the Son sits at his right hand, at least you see two thrones. At least. The Holy Spirit flows from beneath the throne. He is the only one person that doesn't seem to reveal himself in our dispensation. Next time he will reveal and say the next dispensation. But at least you see two thrones there. It didn't say that God the Father is up there and Jesus sitting on his lap. One throne. Says God the Father is there and Jesus at his throne at his right hand. At least you can see the two personhood of God. The three persons. And then it also says God chose it to reveal himself to us in three persons. Three separate persons working in unity. Never in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation do you find God working separately. Everything the Father wanted to do is what the Son wanted to do and what the Spirit wanted to do. Everything the Spirit wanted to do is what the Son wanted to do and what the Father wanted to do. Everything the Son wanted to do is what the Spirit wanted to do and what the Father wanted to do. Praise God. And it's bringing us to the point where what the Father wanted to do, what the Son wanted to do, what the Spirit wanted to do, we want to do. Where we would move with the Trinity of God. So God is three persons in one accord. In the beginning was God. Percy Collier, if you heard that tape, incidentally, that those tape series are available, you can get it from State Department, John. And Percy Collier went to heaven for 6 hours, six early hours. In heaven, there's no measurement. So on this earth, he was absent for 6 hours. He just fell under the power, and his spirit got caught up. And Jesus took him to the back of the throne room. Wow. And he took him to a compartment, and he opened a huge window. And he looked as far into space as the eye could see, and Jesus said, we have come to this part of the universe to make the world where you are. We came from there. And even boggled his mind. Imagine there are other worlds. Have we not read in Hebrews 11 verse 3? By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Sadhu Sundar Singh, in his book, The Spiritual World, says, and when he was talking to Jesus, Jesus revealed himself and said, there are many other worlds he has made. That must be beyond even our universe. As far as men can see in this whole solar system, there doesn't seem to be any life. It must be further off. And he says, in your world, which I have made, I have chosen to reveal my attribute of love. But in other worlds, I have revealed my other attribute. Can you imagine? Other attributes which we can't even comprehend now. Everything in the Bible, Genesis, Revelation, all that we know called the attributes of God, all tied up to one, love. Faith, love, and all these are time in the one. There are many other aspects of God that we don't fully understand. So there is a God. He said, brother, do you believe
In a God, there are only three positions you can take in the world. You're either a theist, an atheist, or an agnostic. By choosing not to know anything, you're agnostic. Okay, what in the world is that? A theist is someone who believes in God. An atheist is someone who says, I don't believe in God. An agnostic is saying, I don't know and I don't care. So you're one of those positions. And so one day I met this atheist. I was a former atheist incidentally. Well, in my teenage life, too much science, too much education, became atheist. And so I met this atheist and he says, I don't believe in God. I said, well, I do. And he says, prove to me that God exists. Yes. You prove to me that God does not exist. Draw. You can't prove that God doesn't exist. But if I want to, I could use proof to show God exists, but he wouldn't believe the proof anyway. But basically, I brought him to this point, where I said that to believe in God or not to believe in God, you still require faith. I use my faith to believe in a God, you use yours to believe there's no God. Draw. Wait, it's not a draw yet, that's round one. Ding. So round two, the referee blows his whistle. Ding. And he says, and I went on the set. If you don't believe there's a God, and in the end, when we all finally die and we find there's actually no God, no problem. But if I believe in God, and when we all die, and we go over there and we find there's a God, you are in trouble. Round two, ding, over. And so, then we enter round three. Ding! And he said, I look at him and said, look right into the eye. If I don't believe in a God, and you are just molecules and atoms and material, and there's no spirit, you're just flesh, it makes me a cruel person. Because I can kill you and you're just dust. It means nothing to me. I can be a very cruel person. I can kill, I can rock, and to me all these are just physical material. And I said, because I believe in God, it makes me a better person. I fear the God who created this world. I want to obey the God who made this world. And society cannot run smoothly if people become cruel. You could be a murderer and care nothing about that because there is no eternal judgment. But because I believe in God, I become a better member of society. I become law-abiding. I become caring because I know you are eternal. Silence on earth. Ding! Round three. And the next week or so, he came and he said, I want to believe in God. Ding! That was in his heart. And so, round four, Jesus came into his heart. Praise the Lord. So, we realize that there is a God. And here the Bible reveals God as three persons existing. Now, in the beginning, God the Father was called God. And that's still his name. So, there was God. Praise the Lord. There was God. Praise the Lord. Albert, could we use you? Praise the Lord. And can we use you? Thank you. So in the beginning, there was God. Alright. And it's on right here. Stand here. So this is the heavenly sphere, right? We're translating the heavenly sphere. Before the world exists, before anything exists, there was God the Father. And there was God the Son. And so God the Son, praise the Lord. And but in the beginning, right, you can stand right here beside your dad. And there was God the Son. Let me see who's taller. Or the Son. Right. And there was God the Son. But in the beginning of time, God the Son was not called God the Son. That name he only took after the New Testament. And you shall call his name Jesus. In the beginning, his name was God the Word. He didn't have the title Son yet. Any reference to the Son in prophecy points to Jesus coming at the cross. And in the beginning, he was called God the Word, and that was his name. That is why John chapter 1 reveals the name of the second person of the Godhead. He is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. His name was the Word. In the book of Revelation, we read how later when Jesus comes with all his saints against the Antichrist, that his name was written as the Word of God. So he takes back his original name, the Word. So in the beginning there was God the Word, and then there was God the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Banabim. Praise the Lord. And God the Spirit. Let's stand right beside him. God the Spirit. So God the Father, God the Word, and God the Spirit. They confer together and they say in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, let us. See, that point to the Trinity. It didn't say let me. Let us make man in our image. That is Genesis chapter 1. But way back, we do not know how long, could have been millions of years, could have been thousands of years in every time. Way back before God made anything, God made the angels. The archangels, the seraphim, the cherubim, and all these wonderful angels. God created all the angels. God created Michael, God created Gabriel, God created Lucifer. Lucifer, the shining one. These archangels, many, there could be more than three that we know. Only so far three are named, but there could be more than that. And God created all these angels, and the angels constantly serve God. They constantly serve God. Right, praise God. Don't leave me standing there, please. Thank you. Well, the rest of us turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 20 and Isaiah chapter 14. Praise the Lord. You're tired after the message by your lunch. Anyway, right. So anyway, Ezekiel chapter 28. God created all of the angels. Men did not come into the picture yet. And although this prophecy is a prophecy about Tyre, yet in time, it points back to Satan, who was formerly called Lucifer. See, God didn't create him as Satan. God created him as Lucifer, the shining one, the archangel. In verse 12, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrel and pyrus was prepared for you. On the day you were created, you were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. So God created Satan. Keep one hand on Ezekiel 28 and look at Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. So in the beginning of beginnings, God created all these majestic looking angels. Archangels, cherubims, and seraphims, and all of them were out there serving God. We do not know how long Lucifer served God. But one day, Ezekiel 28 came to pass. Ezekiel 28, let's read verse 15. You were perfect in your ways. You see, God didn't make imperfection, God made perfection. You were perfect in your ways. From the day you were created, God created Lucifer perfect. He was not created imperfect or evil. He was created good. However, we must bear in mind that angels were created with a free will. They were created with a free will. We are created with a free will too, but we have something extra. We are created to touch the physical and the spiritual. They are created fully spiritual. It's a different creation of God. And so the angels are spirits. They have a spiritual body, but they don't have physical bodies like ours. And Ezekiel chapter 28 tells us that in verse 15, till iniquity was found in you. So one day, while serving God, Lucifer thought that he knew everything he needed to know about God. And he said, how could you think of such a thing? Imagine, man today could think like that, how much more a guy like Lucifer? He thought that we know everything about God. And he thought that there was no more to God that he needed to know. He thought he knew everything and he could usurp God's throne. Sin was found in him. Now let's define that. Sin is not a substance in the beginning. Sin is a condition. See, did God create sin? No, sin don't have to be created. Sin is a condition, not a substance. If it's a substance, then there needs to be a creation. But sin is a condition. It's just like darkness is the condition of the absence of light. You don't have to create darkness. You remove the light and darkness comes. Darkness is not a substance. You don't find that you could go to a bright room, switch on darkness, and darkness comes. Fill out the room. Darkness is not a substance, it's a condition. It's a condition of the essence of life. So, through free choice, Lucifer chose to go on in his own. He chose to go on his own. And the moment he made that choice to move away from obedience, darkness is a condition. Iniquity was found. So darkness and sin are conditions. However, if you read the Bible in the New Testament, you notice that sin later becomes described as if it has a personality. Especially in the book of Romans. It says how sin, which worketh in the body, overcame Paul. What I do, I don't do, he says. But sin that is in me did it. So he gives a personality to sin. See, sin and the power of darkness only became a personality after Satan fell. So Satan became, after he fell, the very personification of sin and evil. That is why if today Satan should appear to anybody and enter, he could appear as a shining one in camouflage. But if you're discerning, you could detect darkness coming. So he becomes the very personification of that darkness. He is a living creature. But in the beginning, sin was a condition. Just a condition of state of being. Today it still is, but it's a substance because there are real demons and there's a real devil now working in it as a force. And so there was Lucifer, and he plotted, according to the book of Revelation chapter 12, he plotted with all those other angels. And one third chose to go with him. And they all ran after God, thinking that that's all they know about God. They think that was all God was. They said, "Cut!" And God took one look around. I don't know what God did. All God did is really just reveal more of his glory that Lucifer never saw before. And the judgment came on Lucifer and all his angels, one third of them. And all of them were judged. That is where Isaiah took place. Oh, Lucifer, found in the morning, how you are fallen. So, Lucifer was judged and he was cast out of God's presence. And so God, in this place where he was, in whichever dispensational space that he was in, he judged and he cast them out. Out! And they go, on this side of our Milky Way, of this galaxy. See, the universe is so big. And so this whole part of the universe was isolated and kept in prison, and kept in darkness under God's judgment. So Satan lost all his power, authority that he originally had in God. He became the personification of darkness. God just shut him into that part of the universe. So the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, and the earth was without form, and darkness filled the whole world. Everything was chaos and void in this part of the universe. Everything was as it is, judgment. And time stood still for a while, until one day the universe was broken by the sound of the Godhead speaking. In Genesis 1, the Godhead says, into that part of all the other part of the universe had God's light shining, the life-giving light. But that part of the universe, God says, let there be light! And Satan and all his angels, wonder what is happening. They flooded all with light. Now the light that God spoke was the creative light of God. It was not the sun's rays. It was not the photons and sun rays that we know today. It was spiritual light. How do we know? Because the sun was not made yet. Sun was not created yet. It was created later in the book of Genesis. So there was a sort of creative light that filled that whole part of the universe, and there was Satan and all his one-third of his angels crouching in fear, shaking, wondering what's going to go on. And suddenly they heard God beginning to create what we read about in Genesis chapter 1. God created the world and all these things which we saw the last session, and how he made the world and everything. And then God made the plants. Did you notice that the plants were made before the sun was made? See, today's world is not what God meant it to be. If you take the plants away from sunlight, the process of photosynthesis which the plant depends on for survival stops. And you deprive it of sunlight, it starts dying. But originally, all living creatures had their life directly from God. So the plants exist because of God's life. So that was the perfect world God made. And God made all the world, and then God made man. Genesis 1:26. Satan heard the sound. Let us make man in our image. See, what image? He's watching the whole thing. He was still around. He was watching. Put on his spiritual binoculars. Watching. Crouch. And, that reminds me of Snoopy on top of his doghouse, playing the vulture. And, so just watching. Then God made man and everything there was, and God gave man authority and power. God gave the world's authority and power to Adam. And then God said, let them have dominion. Wow, Satan heard the word dominion, he got hungry. His saliva started dropping. That's what he wants, dominion. Dominion, wow. So then God left Adam to keep. You know, this God asked him to keep. Although Adam may not know, that word implies taking care of the whole place, exercising his God-given authority. We don't know how long they continue, But Satan, who had no power, no more authority, he did not even have his archangel authority. He was already cast out. That's why those who teach that Satan fear his archangel authority, they're not speaking it right. God's judgment cast him out. And what Satan did was, he crept into the Garden of Eden, and he saw and spied out all the creatures. He figured out, if he's going to get man, he's got to do it in a different style. And he saw one little creature called the serpent. We don't know how the serpent looked like. It could look like monkey, it could look like snake. We don't know what it looked like. But in those days, all the animals could talk to one another. And they could talk to man. Is that right? Yes. The serpent talked to Eve. They all talk one language. We don't know what language it was. When we get back to heaven, once again, it is restored. Robert Lydon, when he went to heaven, sat in a boat, and as he was going enjoying the creation of God in paradise, the fish came out and said, "Hello, Robert!" Even the fish stopped. And today's world is fallen. It's not where God made it. So all the animals could talk, and Satan sneaked up. He saw that serpent, and he said, "This is the one." He somehow got control of the serpent, and through the serpent he came after Eve, hid in the branches, waiting that forbidden fruit. Incidentally, it's not an apple. May have been a durian. No, it's not. And so we do not know what it was, but that forbidden fruit. So Adam and Eve were tempted. We read the story in Genesis 3 that they partook of the fruit, and the moment they did, all the authority transferred to Satan. All that belonged to them. So what Satan had was Adam's dominion and authority. Luke chapter 4 verse 6, Satan told Jesus, "Show him all the kingdoms of the world and say all these glory and authority and power has been given unto me." The Revised Berkeley Version says, "has been handed over to me." It could not have been God who handed it to him. Adam did. It was transferred over to Satan, and Satan began to have the dominion that formerly belonged to Adam and Eve. So there we have it. Adam and Eve became slaves and under Satan, and Satan took domain of the whole creation. Since that first man fell into sin, sin and death reigned in the world. Question is asked, why didn't God just step in? Why don't God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit, just when they see that, they will just say, "Hallelujah!" and grab Satan. Tie him up, throw him off. Why didn't God straight away did it? If God did it, he would have to get rid of man too. Because man had become a part of Satan's kingdom. If God destroyed Satan at that time, he would have to destroy man too. In Matthew chapter 25, we are told that the lake of fire was created for Satan and his angels. It was never created for men. Remember this. God created the lake of fire not for men, for Satan and his angels. But Satan is trying to pull human souls into that lake of fire. Fairly speaking, he has succeeded to a certain extent. So God studies the whole picture. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit, they confer together. Look at the whole situation. Of course, they knew before. It's a great wisdom, but I'm just giving a picture of their conferring. And they realize, there's one way we'll get it back. If they just come down straight away and grab it, if they send an angel, and an angel came down, and throw Satan aside, all the authority will go back to angels, and men will have to be destroyed too. Homo sapiens will have to be destroyed too. So God confers
Confess. And incidentally, the world that was given to Adam, the authority that God gave Adam over this whole world, God turned it over to Adam, which Adam turned over to Satan, it was given leasehold, not freehold. Leasehold. Some believe it was leasehold 6,000 years. Similarly that. But no one exactly knows when the 6,000 years begins and ends. So the world was given as leasehold, not freehold to man. Satan knows that he got it over in a certain period. And when God had a plan and God says, alright, there's one way we could do it. We will, one of us will go in human flesh and overcome Satan in human flesh as a human being, and thereby all the authority will transfer back to human beings. What a beautiful plan. God planned it that way. And so God waited his time and prepared and waited for the fullness of time. And when the fullness of time came, God sent one of his angels in Luke chapter 1 to Mary. And he comes to Mary, appears to Mary, right? And says, you know, Mary, he says, thou art highly favored. And he says in Luke 1 that the holy thing which God created shall be called Jesus, or the Son of God. Look at Luke chapter 1 for a moment. Luke chapter 1. And it tells us in verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? And in verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. God says there will be a creation. That is why Jesus is called the second Adam. Why second Adam? Because God actually creates a new body in Mary's womb. God could have taken Mark and made a body for Jesus and Jesus come. But he chose to make a body inside Mary's womb. That is what the Bible calls it here. In notice in verse 35, Luke, it says that Holy One. The New King James is very polite. It calls it the Holy One. In the Old King James, it says the Holy Thing. How dare you call Jesus a thing? But in the Greek, it's the Holy Thing, the Holy Neuter word. So how could it be a thing? Because the body without the spirit is still lifeless. See, God did not create Jesus in the womb. God only creates a body in the womb. Whether it's a one-cell body, two-cell body, multi-cell body, it was just a physical body that God created. Without any part from Mary, without any part from Joseph, God created a new body. And having created a new body, God, the Father, God the Spirit, said to God the Word, and said, alright, you, now go down into that body. So Hebrews chapter 10 took place in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, and it says, verse 5, therefore when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. See, Jesus was not created. only the body he dwelt in was created. It was a different body, a new creation. He was a second Adam. So what Jesus did, he was God the Word. He took off his glory. John 17, he talked about his restoration of his glory. He took off what we call his omnis. His omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. He took off all his authority, power, glory, everything. And just the form of his spirit life came. And that body is created so the life of God, the Word, came. And it goes into the body of Mary. And so Mary is not the mother of God. Because Jesus was not created in her. Only the body was created and Jesus' spirit came into that body. Strictly speaking, technically speaking, Mary's womb was just an incubator for the word of God to come through. That's all. The womb was just an incubator for the whole process to come in. She was not the mother of God. See, God cannot be created. But the body was created and Jesus came down and entered that body. Whether it's a one-cell body, two-cell body in the spirit world, it makes no difference. If 6,000 demons, one legion could dwell in one man, you realize that in the spirit world there's no space like you think about in the natural. So the Spirit of Jesus came. And that combination of the second person of the Godhead with human flesh became called Jesus. That's when the second person of the Godhead took a different name. He shall be called Jesus, which means God is our salvation. Christ, which means the anointed one. So he took on a new name. Jesus Christ. He lived on the planet Earth for 33 years, waited on God, and everything Jesus did while he was on Earth, he did it as a man. He didn't have any special God's rights, but everything he did, he fulfilled as a man with the help of the Holy Spirit, which is available to any man who knew to God. So he fulfilled everything he needed on this planet Earth. And finally, when he has walked on this earth 33 years, when it's time for him to manifest himself, the Spirit of God came. Praise the Lord. And when he was 30 years old, the Spirit of God came upon Jesus and anointed him. That was how Jesus did all his work. As a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. So how did we know the world was restored? See what God did when Jesus came. And Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit, started going out to do mighty works. The demons all had a shock. See how is it that you come before our time? Do you notice them saying that? In Matthew chapter 8. The demons scream and say, how is it that you come to torment us before our time? What time are they talking about? Remember we said, the earth was given in leasehold. They know the leasehold has not expired. Jesus was nearly 2,000 years ahead. So suddenly here comes Jesus before his leasehold. It's just like a landlord come to you before your tenancy agreement expires. And come to drive you out. You say, hey, the lease agreement not ended yet. So that was a shock the demons were had. Say, why are you coming to torment us before the time the lease has not ended yet? They knew. There's a time coming. And Satan knows his time is coming short. And he gets, wow. And God could come on this planet. And so Jesus ran about doing all this. So it was a surprise. See, God came as a man. None could come as God and take over when the Holy Soul expired. But God came as a man in human form. Did all those mighty works. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, on behalf of humanity, died, took our sin that we might be free. He overcame the devil as a man, not as God. He died on the cross as a sinless man for sinful men. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. So Jesus Christ took our place. In John chapter 12, it says the time has come, when he talked about the cross, when the prince of the power of the air will be cast out. When Satan will be cast out. He talked about the cross. See, when Jesus went to the cross and overcame Satan as a man, tempted in every way, but sinless, he took back all the power that belonged to Adam. Took back all the authority that belonged to Adam. Took back everything. And then he rose up. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You can turn around and go up. And he rose up and he went to heaven. The Bible says that in heaven, Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 took place. God the Father proclaimed. See, when Jesus came down, he was just God in spirit form, emptying himself. Jesus coming in. But when Jesus rose up, a part of humanity went up with him. See, he's being raised as a man. And as a man, when he reached up there, he is restored back to his old glory. And God glorified human beings in Christ. God glorified homo sapiens. Jesus still has that link with homo sapiens. And Philippians 2 says, God the Father declared and said, let all creatures, let every tongue, let every being, let every creature in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth glorify and bow to the name that is above every other name. He glorified the name Jesus Christ. See, that's when the second person of the Godhead took on the name Jesus Christ. And today he's still known by that name. He's known as our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. He has his glory come back to him. God the Word glory come back. But he has brought up with him. Homo sapiens was exalted. And so because Jesus overcame Satan as a man, all the authority came back to Homo sapiens. And he gave his authority and power back to us, Homo sapiens. If there's any human being who believes in Jesus now, that same authority that he has won back will be delegated to them. And it says, in my name, you shall cast out demons. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He says, go and preach. Go and teach all nations. So he starts sending us out. And he says, everyone who believes in Jesus today, by believing in him, we believe in what he has done for us. And that right and authority that originally God made for us can come on us. And we can walk with the authority that God meant for human beings to have. In the Old Testament, everyone who looks forward to Jesus Christ's coming is saved. And in a new covenant, everyone who looks back is saved. I said in the old covenant they didn't taste all the benefits. In the new we start tasting because the work of the cross has already been accomplished and finished, completed. Hallelujah. God has finished the whole redemption work. And now the same Spirit that helped Jesus, God sends the fullness of the Spirit down. When Jesus rose from the dead, He sent Him down to this planet Earth. And that same Spirit can come on any human being to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior and come upon their lives, and the same power and authority that Jesus used to overcome the devil will come upon their lives, and they will be able to overcome Satan. And they will have authority over Satan. They will have authority over demon powers. And they will be able to walk on the planet Earth with the authority and power that God has originally designed for man to have. That's how God totally eradicated sin and removed it, so that it's available today to each one of us who believe. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every heart and every life and every mind. We pray for those under the sound of my voice. We pray, O God, that if there be any who have not come to know Jesus and His truth and His life, that right now, Father God, you begin to speak to the heart and life of each one, that you will cause a revelation to flow forth. And you will cause, O God, an understanding to come forth. Let the light of your gospel shine upon each one. And Father God, your light will enlighten its life. We pray, O Father God, that that stirring will begin. That same Spirit that Jesus said, no man can come to the Father, shall the Father draw him. That same Spirit is drawing, Father God, all to know Him. We pray, Father God, that your love begins to deal and come upon its life, Lord, even now. We thank you, Father God, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Would you be standing together with me? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, you're not sure you're ready to meet God.
Right now God is speaking to you. This is the desire of your heart. Right now, wherever you are.